Good evening. So nice to see so many of you here. We had a week-long hiatus where we were closed to clean the Zendo and get it all spruced up like we have it now. Resetting it after we had our 35-day retreat upstate. And so when we came back, you always use 1 week to kind of clean up the Zendo and get it ready for the fall season. That I hope you'll attend all the sittings in the fall season. And just as I got back from our Anga retreat, I received a request to write a piece about retreats. I said, well, I guess so. I guess it's fresh in my mind. And more specifically, they wanted me to write about Sesshin, which is our intensive retreat time, and the quality of surrender that's necessary to really take advantage of retreat practice, of Sesshin. And I started thinking about it, and it seems to me that that's exactly what's required of us when we come in for one single period of Zazen here. There's not a huge difference between being up there for 35 days and the resistance that arises and the need to surrender as there is just coming for one period of Zazen, whether you come in for our morning sits or our noontime sits or our evening sits. So the retreat that we did was at the Grail Conference Center. We do that every year. And our retreats are usually 6 to 10 days long, and then we have other kinds of things that we do. We get up a lot earlier than most of us do here in the city. And we have Zazen in the morning, and in mid-morning, and afternoon and evening. So it's a very intense time. And we have more services than we do here in the city. Everyone's so rushed and time is so pushed that through the years, we found that just a little bit, like the little chant that we did before the talk, is the one little piece of liturgy that we will do that we do on a normal evening, or the four vows that we do at the end, just enough to bring all our voices together and remind ourselves of the one body. That it's not just my voice in the world, but my voice joined with all these other voices. So we call that idea of working together the container. We use that expression a lot in Zen. It's the idea that, you know, here we are, we come in here to sit, we come off of Broadway, we're running, we're kind of zigzagging through the crowds, and we come upstairs and we all sit in a line facing the wall. It's kind of strange on the one hand. And on the other hand, it is a container. It really holds us. It holds us upright. You know, if I feel like slumping, the people on my left and my right are sitting rather straight. So I'm encouraged to do that. I'm encouraged not to, you know, start messing with myself, but to sit quietly. And so all together, we form this container of practice. And it's so important for us to do, whether we're doing it through chanting or bowing or walking, the little bit of walking meditation we do. You know, in the early mornings, noon and evening sits, I think we're challenged by the very same resistances that we find up in Sesshin. So we go and we sit down. And I remember when I first began sitting, too, in the city, when I wasn't on retreat and all dressed up, but I just came in from work. Maybe I should have gone to that other appointment instead of coming here. It's really too hot.
or too cold in here. What are they thinking? I don't have to put up with this. What was I thinking? I've got far too much to do to be sitting here, sitting, facing a wall. Besides, it's not working because I'm thinking about something else. And why is that person next to me sniffling around so much? It's bothering me and upsetting my practice. And those aren't quotations other than what has happened to me personally when I'm sat, right? Our resistance often takes the form of criticizing the other or criticizing ourselves for the decision we've made to come here or to do something. Often it's about not feeling like we're wasting our time. We're not really doing the practice. Sometimes we just attack whatever target's available. So there's not any different between that and what happens in Sesshin, except in Sesshin it's residential. We're together an awful lot more. And there's a tendency to get lost in the resistance, to begin to believe it. To really begin to believe, I really should have gone to that appointment. I shouldn't have come to the Zendo tonight. I really have better things to do. I'm too busy. So we begin to replace this kind of thought that comes, this resistance, and we begin to say, oh, that's the truth. That's really the way things are. So how do we work with that? That constant, this is a waste of my time. I don't get it. I'm not getting it. We have to pop up a level. To see past that petty concern and to return to our original intention, what really got us here in the first place. To meet reality head on. To encounter the wisdom of just this without a defensive or self-centered view. Today I got soaked, absolutely soaked. I made a bad decision. I didn't wait under the awning like the other people. I said, oh, it's only four blocks. And I just got soaked with the wet. So in the first two blocks, it was like this. And then suddenly I thought, I'm completely wet. I can just let this go now and be wet. So the last two blocks weren't so bad. Dogen called this body and mind dropped away. Dropped away, body and mind. It's when we are no longer caught up in this very small perspective of ourselves, this tiny lens of the me. The lens that sees the world as me versus the rest of the world. That single focused view is so poverty stricken, it doesn't let in all the things that are available to us. You know, we come here and we agree to sit down together. Each of us has our own practice. Most of us have different practices. And we also have different issues that we're working on. Different preferences, different difficulties.
in this room right now, there's some bodies, there's some old bodies, and there's some young bodies. Some very tight sitters, some very loose. In this room right now, there are all these different feelings and thoughts. We all live in very different worlds, you know. But the fact that we're sitting together brings us together. There's a cohesiveness just in our intentionality. We're part of an organism that's larger than just me, than just my mind, what I think. That's what we call the great body. And being aware of that is so helpful in this world that we live in, to be able to learn to pop up a level, to shift our consciousness from just this me-centeredness to this larger sense of being one with all that exists. And don't worry, the self is not lost. There's no danger. Over and over again, the big eye pops up every moment or so. My likes, my dislikes, whether it's about the temperature or the state of the cushions or the actions of those around us. Don't worry, you're not going to lose that. But it's right there. If we're attentive, we can learn so much about ourselves and about our place in the world and how we can make a difference in the world. We can watch our protective self jump forward with its preferences, its views. And we can realize that it's safe just for the time being to drop those preferences and see what else is there when we're not looking at it through this one single lens. And I guarantee you, there's no problem. You will not lose your preferences and views, your opinions. But when we're able to drop them, then we're able to meet new experiences. We're able to understand something else. And it's kind of exciting. It's not the same old view of the world. It's very creative. It changes. It doesn't just change that perspective, but it changes your heart. It opens you to all kinds of new understandings of what's around you. Joshin Sensei, in one of her Sunday study groups during the summer, talked about Basho's poem, which was written on his trip up north, his famous trip that he wrote. He wrote a series of haikus up north, and it's one of my favorite verses. And when she told me that she presented it here, it reminded me of the point I'm trying to make today. He was traveling, you know, by foot up north, and he wrote this haiku. Lice, fleas, the horse pissing beside my pillow. Lice, fleas, the horse pissing beside my pillow. I'm going on a street retreat in 10 days, and so I think that's another reason why because, you know, when the little rat skitters over your face, it's like, oh, my God, what am I doing? Lice, fleas, the horse pissing beside my pillow. So I imagine Basho, you know, making a little bed for himself in the stable, stretching out after a long day's travel. He wasn't young at that point. He breathes in and he suddenly realizes that there are lice like crawling
around his head. And he sees a flea jumping. And then he hears and smells a horse pissing right next to him. Just imagine that. You know, he's in the stable, finally found a place to lay out. And that poem became one of the most famous haiku of all of Japan. And why? Why is it such a powerful teaching for us, or for me? His ability to be completely present to what is without grasping or rejecting it, but noting it completely, utterly, simply, barely. Lice, fleas, a horse pissing by my pillow. If we could teach ourselves to really experience what's arising before we push it away, we would learn so much. We would live a much deeper, richer life. And perhaps really appreciate much more of our life and of the people that we meet and the experiences that we have before we immediately go to rejecting or grasping. It's not different. Over-grasping is just the same as resisting. The poem wasn't, I shouldn't have come on this long journey. The lice and fleas are too much for me, and I'll never be able to get to sleep with this horse. He just, in short phrases, he reports to us. To me, it's like a soothing song. Lice, fleas, the horse pissing beside my pillow. He doesn't get up and scream, nor does he hide. He's simply present. And that's a way to be present in our life, to everything that arises. And that's one of the things that we train for here. You know how we suggest that when you're sitting that you don't fidget? Because fidgeting is a distraction. It moves you away from what is really present in the moment. To be alive to just this breath. And you know, sometimes we don't want to be present to what we're experiencing. And so that's in my own personal experience, that's when I suddenly realized that my glasses are sliding down my nose and it's really, really important for me to push them back up. Or that I have to scratch my ear. Or some way to move away from the present feeling that is there. So that's why we have these agreements that we make with one another in sitting zazen or in going to sesshin. Is we're going to try to not fall into the resistance, but instead to meet the reality, to see what's there for us. To just let things arise and fall away. And, you know, there's a kind of irony in the surrender that we do. It's as if we tentatively enter into a highly structured situation, a framework that's not completely to our liking, but we do it to escape from that hidden structure, that hidden framework that we don't see because it's us. We enter this structure to get away from the structure that we're blind to because we think, oh, this is the way it is, this is what I see, and this is the truth. And when we begin to sit and we're able to dissolve that superficial level of our views, we're able to inhabit a very different self that we are. We forget that we are much more than what we think. Much, much more. We find out what else is present, which in this case is very warm evening. And every once in a while, perhaps you get a little bit of that fan air. Ah, feels good. And we begin to realize the marvel of life itself, of our lives, the wisdom that's present and available to us all the time. If we can let go of those rote, over and over and over again thinking, we come home to a much larger vision of ourselves. And that's where I think we find our natural generosity and our natural compassion that gets closed off by our habitual default selfing. And we lose the sense, our natural generosity, our natural kindness and compassion. Some people call it wisdom. I like to think of it as kindness and compassion. So let me offer you an encouraging gatha. First, I just want to thank you for coming tonight. It's a great way to start the fall season here. And I hope you come back. Hope you come back and sit with us. We're going to have our 30th anniversary this year. And so we'll have some parties and so forth. And so do check out our website if you're new to the Zendo. But here's my gatha. Sitting alone, sitting together, we breathe together. Thoughts and feelings slowly become quiet. And together we sit as one, as many, in the silence.